Welcome to Convos and Cocktails with your host, Lesego Tlhabi. Today we are sipping gin and tonics, and my guest says she was always meant to be on television. Even before she was born, her father told her mom when she was pregnant that she was pregnant with a TV star. Our guest today is Wendy Gumede, also known as the Black Wendy. Woo! She's a multi-talented YouTuber, actress, and screenwriter. She really needs no introduction, and she's also a good friend of mine. And in this episode, we're talking all things body, personal, and fat phobia in the industry. It is not going to be a surprise when you take off your top, like, wait, where did that come from?
Oh, what? You don't have a six pack?
Where did that come from?
And you know, actually, I used to be in situations like that where you undress and you can tell that Umutu is looking at you like, oh. And I'm like, what? Did you think I was Jessica Alba under this?
Is this a fat suit? Like hold on, let me unzip the clothes.
Let me take my clothes off and then, like, surprise. Like, what the hell?
Remember to join me on all socials on Mondays where we get to continue the convos while we sip our cocktails on Instagram. Simply follow me at Lesego Tlhabi. Okay, here we are. Episode 2. Yay! Oh my God. Today in studio I have a, she was a very tough guest to find, although we know each other personally. This is just personal.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Oh, welcome to Convos and Cocktails.
Finally.
Her name is Wendy Gumede. Hi. Like, there's a long list of things you do. Content creator, actress, script writer, voiceover artist, creative director now. Mm. Is there anything you don't do?
Lie, cheat, and steal.
Yeah. And probably sing. Can you sing? You sound like you can sing.
I thought I could. You know, I thought I could sing for the longest time. And I realized when I got to university that I actually couldn't.
Oh, who told you?
But like literally before university, those are many years. Those are 18 years.
Yeah.
I was really convinced that
you
I could belt.
You would have been one of those people on Idol. Like you can, you have such a soft, gentle voice that just sounds so feminine. I know it sounds so weird, but like you sound like you can sing.
Thank you.
Sound like I can't sing and I can sing.
Can you sing?
I can sing.
And dance? And act?
I was one of those theater kids though. You know, like when your mom on Saturdays is like, you're going to dancing, singing, acting.
Uh-huh.
Like I was doing that on Saturdays. I wasn't.
Nice.
Anyway, that's not why we're here. Although that could be a whole conversation and people should follow you if they want to know more about you.
Exactly.
As if they don't already. So today we are going to talk a lot of things, fat phobia. Mm-hmm. I wanted to focus it on the industry, but also personal lives. I think this thing touches a lot of parts of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we also had a conversation about it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that we don't actually have the same experience, because I thought, oh, we'll kind of connect on a lot of places. And then I heard your story and I was like, oh, actually, it's quite different. And I enjoyed that about it.
Mm.
So I wanted to start just in general with your childhood and how you saw yourself, or how people around you made you feel. Did you have a knowledge that you were, well, first of all, were you chubby growing up?
So I've never been thin. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been a small girl.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely a point in my life where I was like, I am a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
And there's moments in between where that wasn't really a factor. So I remember the time it hit me that I was considered to be big, or like bigger than most girls. And that was after I came back home, after my first year of university, first year spread. That's when I started looking at myself differently. And that's when I started having quote unquote problems with my image.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, not really. I mean, I would do what the girls would try to do at high school. Like, you know, there was a point where I think for the last 2 years of high school, I spent them in boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really into activities that people were doing after school. So when the little girls were jogging, I would jog as well. But like, it was never a,
oh my
little girls were jogging. I was like, let me try this. And you know, I'd go one round and be like, I'm going to go home because I don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to a few years later, I was just hit with the reality that some people don't see me the way that I do. And I think that's the first time I was like, oh wow, like I know I've gained weight. Am I fat?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what fat is? Hectic.
That is insane. Because for me, growing up, I was always chubby.
Mm.
I think maybe as like an actual child, so like 0 to 6 years old, or 0 to maybe 10, let's say, I was like a thinnish child or normal child, whatever you want to say. And then I think in grade 5-ish, that's when it started, like I was like a chubby child.
Mm.
So for me, I've actually known it since then, because it was like, and God bless the rents. But you know, my mom was quite like, concerned with how my, you know, my self-esteem was and what people would say. And like, you know, sometimes like my aunt's helper would be like, woo, you know, every time you go home.
Oh my gosh. Don't even.
So for me, it was like, she just saw that as, oh my gosh, Mtana, I'm like, I need to help her.
I need to intervene.
And obviously, you know, at the time, it doesn't feel very much like help intervention. Because, you know, if someone tells you, you need to go on a diet or like, let me help you do this, do that. It feels very aggressive and it feels like an attack. But yeah, I've known it. I've grown up with it. So for me, it was not a surprise when you get to varsity or when you get to certain stages and people want to insult you, the first thing they say is that. I was like, oh, I know. I've been knowing since grade 5. It's okay. But for you, was it something that someone had said in passing or was it an argument? Like when you said you saw other people, how they see you, what was the thing that made that realize?
Similar to you, actually, it was going home. Mm. It was my family actually was the first kind of hostile reaction kind of environment that I was exposed to. So I went back home after university and, you know, I had just gone to UCT, first in my generation to do that. I had all these accomplishments and I really felt like it was a great moment for myself, you know, only for me to return home and actually realize that none of those accolades mean anything. Mm. I walked in and people were just like, it's almost like they didn't recognize who I was.
Yeah.
And it was, the whole thing was quite hyperbolic and incredibly like hurtful. Mm. And yeah, so the, you know, oh my gosh, you're so fat. Like lift your t-shirt up, oh literally. There are some people from my congregation who were like, there's no way she's not pregnant, and started planting those seeds in my mom's head. And I literally just, like that's the moment that I started to hate myself. Yeah. And I hated myself for the first half of my 20s because of that one moment. Mm. And I started seeing myself as something that I should fix.
Yeah.
Like as a problem that I should fix. Like I have this problem and I need to fix it. And every December, the problem would be worse because I would have gained more weight. Because what's also happening on the other side is that I'm actually growing as a human being. Yeah. Like physically.
Like from a teenager to an adult.
Exactly.
Things
I'm
are
becoming
very different.
A woman. Yeah. Quote unquote. So that was happening, but I was just literally trying to solve this problem that everyone saw. Mm-hmm. And I think for the longest time, and even now in my present life, it's so hard for me to look at myself in the mirror and not see something that should go away. Mm. And that's where it started.
No, I hear you completely. I wanted to just ask actually about family because, like I said, for me, a lot of the comments came from the outside in terms of the negative ones. Mm. But in terms of like, okay, let's fix this. Let's go on diet. And now looking back, I actually feel like I was not as big as what
Please
I was told.
Talk that talk. It's looking back and going, I was what?
What? Guys.
There's no way.
If that was then, then what the fuck
what
is
am
now?
I now?
Like, and I just remember looking through a lot of my photos and just being like, I wish I had more appreciation for what it was at the time, because I understand that people are trying to help me and whatever, whatever, and maybe nip it in the bud. But I wasn't that big and that wasn't that much of a problem. But let's talk diet culture, because I know that when you have a negative opinion of yourself and you're trying to work on things, you go on diet. And for me personally, my first diet, I think I was like 13, and I went on like, you know, those professional diets. I'm not going to name them because they ain't paid, but you know, one of those like diet programs.
Yes, yes.
And no one else in the school was obviously going through this.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was just like, that was the first time I also realized that my body is something that is a problem that needs to be fixed. But did you ever have even eating disorder vibes, or was there something, you know, with diet culture that, because I think it's really problematic, even the way they promote diet culture. Is that something that came into your life? Is that something you...
100%. Yeah. That's something that is in my life. Mm. I'm still tempted to go on a 21-day keto burn fat now. Yeah. Like, it's the now. Like, I'm just like, you talking about now?
Like,
I want to burn fat
when
right
Kim
now.
Kardashian said she lost, like, I think 7 kilograms in, like, 3 weeks. I was like, girl, put it online.
I don't know. I don't care
online.
What it is. I don't care what it is.
Put
Give it
online.
To me and I will do it.
I got somewhere to be in 3 weeks,
you know?
Too.
So I've done them all as well. Yeah. There was actually a time where myself and a best friend of mine at the time were doing the something cleanse. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it was, but basically just for 10 days, I think it was, all you could consume is this concoction.
Is that like cayenne pepper one?
Yes, cayenne pepper, lemon and
juice.
Whatever. And I 100% fainted. Like day 5, because my body was like, what are you doing?
You're starving yourself.
Like, what is actually
happening?
And nothing's
going to change that fucking much.
But that didn't change. Like, I am still privy to clicking on the things that say, lose weight now, or this diet worked for me. Especially when it's real human beings. And by real, I mean, like, these celebrities have money and resources, and they have trainers who come to their houses, like,
and
three
surgeons.
Times a day. And surgeons, honey. So I... When a person that you consider like relatable also just tells you, girl, like I lost 30 kgs doing this diet, you still kind of fall into that cycle. So I think I'm still there. Like I'm still looking for the thing that'll work. And now I'm in, at a point in my life where I'm not even looking for something that's going to work fast. I'm just looking for a healthier lifestyle. Mm. But I feel like some of the reasoning behind it is still traumatic. It's still from trauma, because it's fine to decide that this is how I'm going to eat for the rest of my life if it comes from a healthy place and that's actually just what you want to eat for the rest of your life. It's different when it's a to fix myself, to be beautiful, to look a certain way, to feel better about myself. I am going to eat a certain way.
And I think for me, I totally relate. I think it's still both.
Yeah.
Because I'm very much on a different eating plan and I've been on a health kick and I'm seeing results and it's great. But also the way that people are interacting with my photos now and like my, you know, putting stuff online makes me kind of feel like, oh damn, y'all didn't think I was pretty like 3 months ago. It's only now. Or you look so good now. I'm like, no, I looked good then. I just look different. And I don't love that thing of the minute you start losing weight, oh, now you look good. Because it does then feed into, should I be doing this at a faster rate? Should I be dropping more? Should I be doing something unhealthier to just kickstart it even faster? So, I don't like the way diet culture is kind of not about, because when I work out, I feel good mentally. It helps me so much. It's been dark. It's been dark this year. And it just helps me feel better. But I do think that the superficial reasons are very much, and maybe not even superficial, because it's not about looking good. It's about those, the kind of response from the public.
It's about the culture.
It's about the culture. It's about fat phobia now being included, being able to find sizes on websites that I was excluded from before, or being able to walk around without judgment of like, oh, they should go eating that thing or whatever. Fuck yeah, it's a lot. But I wanted to speak to you about dating, because I know that's something you have spoken about. It was really chop and change and problematic until now. Dicey as fuck.
Not my dating life being dicey as fuck.
I mean, look, for both of us, I wanna say, I'm just saying
dark.
What you say. It was dark.
It was dark. Okay.
It was dark. Let's talk about dating.
Yeah.
What, like, because I think, I don't know, actually I want to get to that in a second. But in terms of dating, is that something that you felt like you struggled with? Is that something that was easy for you? Did you have boyfriends growing up?
No. I didn't. And I think, I mean, in many ways, I canceled myself out of so much because of how I felt I looked and, cause then I decided what I deserved, you know? Cause I really felt that way about myself. I felt like no one was looking at me, so why am I looking? Like, no one's looking my way. And it's hectic when you have experiences that speak to that. So you go to nightclubs with your friends and all of them are dancing on some guy and literally no one is there for you, you know? So there were so many different scenarios which were incredibly painful to experience that made me believe that I would never be in a relationship. Like I'd never have someone love me, you know? I could do whatever here and there, but like, I would never have someone actually love me the way that I am. And actually it fed into my diet culture and me trying to like, me chasing this physique. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, like when
once
I
get there you're a man.
And I used to even be like, yeah, when I lose weight, none of these niggas who know me now, when these niggas who know me now try to holler, like, I'm not going to have the time.
Nigga, you sleep on me now. Don't wake up on me when I'm popping.
You know, I had that very strongly and I think I moved that way because that's what I was thinking about myself. And I mean, people speak about this all the time. Like I attracted that because I was definitely vibrating on that self-loathing frequency.
Yeah.
And I think by the time I met Moochie and we
Shout
started getting, cause you spoke to the chemistry that him and I had, right? And you and other people were close to me. I mean, people said it online, like, oh my gosh, you guys should date, da, da, da. I kind of thought to myself, like, this guy's probably like, y'all need to calm down because I'm not finna date this girl. Not finna date this girl and be like that, you know? So a part of me was even thinking like, oh damn, like he must be so embarrassed. So imagine that. Imagine how you place yourself in your mind for yourself to think that way about your own self, you know? So dating was really hard for me. And I did not have, I mean, I, in high schools, whatever. And I think high school, there were other factors, not just my body, but there were other factors just about myself. I think I grew up, very, like I was just really focused on my studies, like honestly, truly, like in a way that's just like, okay, we need to leave this girl alone. Like she's reading a book. You know what I mean? So I think there were other factors, but my body definitely was. But I think in my 20s, in from my university career onwards, I think that's when I started also actively playing a part in keeping guys away and keeping romance away.
Do you think somehow, even the being studious or being super talented at something, was also you being like,
escape,
you know, kind of like, this is the reason why I'm not getting guys. Not because of the body, it's because I'm serious. Like,
because you're trying to be loving to your own self. So you're trying to give yourself like some kind moments. It's a, no, you are beautiful. Like, have you seen
you're
yourself?
Amazing. You're just super busy.
It's just that like your schedule is super tight. You know what I mean? So definitely, no, I definitely think that that's one of the reasons why. But I do think that also just in the world that we live in, we're not the first pick. Like it's, we can't, I don't want to pretend like I was conquering the world and the world wasn't seeing me. I also just, I was playing to what the world was telling me as well, you know, which was that, like, that we're not into you. Guys would come to me to speak to my friend.
Oh my God.
Like, hey man, oh, did you come with that girl? Cause, like, that was the thing. That was the,
but then there's also that weird thing of like the taboo thing.
Yeah.
Cause I actually have a lot of friends, like some are overweight, whatever. And they'd always be like, these niggas love us in private. It's when it comes to having the girlfriend, it needs to be the certain look.
And I hate
in
that.
Front of the gents and stuff. But like, it's not I a lack of we're having no dates or no, you know, we're not having sex or whatever it is, but it's like, whenever it comes to presenting us or being in public with us, that's when it's like, and that was something that, it was just crazy to me that people move like that. And then that's what sometimes people have to accept because, well, at least I'm getting something.
At least I'm getting intimacy, which is something everyone wants, right? So yeah, I do think that that's one of the reasons why. But by the time I met Moochie and we started dating, he changed my perspective or enhanced my perspective about a lot of things, and that included, I think he met me at a time where last year I went through a very, very incredibly dark time. I was incredibly depressed. And so I went to the gym as well. Signed up for gym. I had a personal trainer, took it out on the treadmill,
boxing bag,
the boxing bag, this thing, the weights. Like and that was my therapy, you know, but in doing that, you become closer to yourself. I remember meeting my psychiatrist, and she said to me, the reason why exercising is important is because it allows your body to communicate with your mind.
Oh, wow.
So that you're not detached, so that you don't have a mind and a body, so that you are cohesive as a human being. So when you're working out, you're having so many conversations with your own self, you can do it one more time. Girl, don't give up. You don't give up right now. You know what I mean? Like those moments of wholesomeness between your mind and your body create a sense of self-love, loving yourself because you are in harmony with yourself, right? So in doing those things and exposing myself to people and situations and experiences that spoke to that, I was able to attract love because I was becoming love myself, you know, which is something that
I wish I had a sound effect. Wow. That was deep.
Which is something that I had never had before. I never really understood what love is because as I was coming into my mind, it was stripped away from me immediately.
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about my body the first time someone called me fat. And then that was it. Then I was just fat.
That's all you are.
Exactly.
That's how you move around the world. Yeah.
You know? And so it's been years of undoing and unlearning and trying. And like you said, like even now in the present day, even now while you're like active and starting to adopt healthier habits, like even as you're doing that, you're having to still have that inner dialogue of, I'm not doing this for the culture. I'm not doing this for the people. I'm not doing this for the, oh, you look so better now. Like, I'm doing this to have that cohesive harmony within my own self.
And for my mental health.
Exactly.
Like your year last year, it was chaotic. But more so this year. But it was just like, I need to do something because I don't want to like reach out to medication and like those things are very scary for me. So I was like, okay, let's try like help, like natural forms. Let's see if,
and see if those works work,
and this works, and meditation. And it really has done a world of good. I mean, obviously the body has changed as well as a result of the consistency, but it has changed my mindset and like lifted the clouds so much. But I wanted to stick with dating for a little bit because I saw a tweet last year, or maybe it was early this year, where there was a man and a woman getting engaged, and the man happened to be plus size and the woman is like, you know, thin and light skin and whatever. And everybody's comments, apart from the few who you can see, congratulations and in earnesty, were just like, oh, he must be rich. There is no way someone this, I don't know if you remember, it was like viral and people just kept going on and on about how, yeah, no, he must have money. There's no other way.
She finds him attractive
and
as
I've
he is.
And I've seen that with the other side as well. Like if there's a bigger woman, it's like, oh, she must be like looking after him or like paying.
Of course.
Have you ever had comments, because in relationships where someone is like maybe plus size and someone's not, there's sometimes those kind of comments and those dialogues. Have you ever had those even internally throughout your life in terms of dating?
100%, especially internally. And I think they were more kind of blatant when I started being on TV and actually having intimate relationships on TV, because there's privacy and date, like you post pictures with the person that you're dating or marrying or whatever, and you get those comments, but there's a deeper closeness that only the two of you have in private. When I'm on TV in this body acting and I'm in love with this man who looks a certain way, if you guys have followed any of the shows that I've been on, I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about. Like dating the most beautiful man on the show as a big girl who has dated other beautiful women who did not carry the body that I carry. That's when the vileness for me was the most blatant and the most harsh, because people are like, there's no way a man like that man could ever, like, this makes no sense. Like, how do you
like,
leave this person for this? Yeah, they were just like, this makes no sense. We're not buying this at all. And then it was worse when the story became his ex-lover comes back into the picture, who's a very beautiful South African actress and also just like a very beautiful character on the show, beloved by the country, even worse. You know what I mean? It was like, this is the person that you should be with. Whenever they would be in scenes together, they were like, this is new, picturesque. It makes sense. It's aesthetically pleasing. This just doesn't make sense as a dynamic. So I think with the relationships that I've had in the past, they weren't too public. This is my first actual public relationship carrying the body that I carry. The most vileness or the most mean things that I've ever heard being said about myself was when I was playing that character. And it was just like, you're so undeserving, because honestly, we don't, first of all, there's no way. And she was a maid. Like, there was a scene that we did where he speaks to carrying me or something. And someone was like, oh, you know, I'd love to see that because there's no way. Someone like carrying a room divider. I was called a room divider.
No, Wendy, I would have left.
I sent screenshots to my friends. I literally, you know the app. You know the app. So I've had to navigate that. And the thing is, with these, with the things that people say about us fat women or like big women, what they don't realize is that you're not saying anything that we're not saying to our own selves. If anything, your voices echo when we are alone. Like, I still hear you when I'm alone.
And that's the thing, because sometimes it's not just what we say to ourselves. I don't have a low view of myself, but sometimes it's hard to block out the voices outside,
because they're
the
so loud. And the voices come in so many different ways. Like it's either the hate that you're spewing online, or it's me coming to a set after sending you my sizes and things still don't fit. What are you saying to me right now?
Child,
I sent you my sizes, I sent you my measurements. You made this thing and it doesn't fit. What are you saying to me? You know, so arriving for like photo shoots and you're with other people who look, you know, aesthetically pleasing to the photographer, and you sense to sit at the back, or you like all these things that are being communicated to you on the billboard. They only have your face on there, not your body, but they have everyone else's body. Like it's all of that. Our bodies are only pleasing, or they serve a purpose if they make people laugh. You need to make me laugh.
Oh, you are getting into all my, like, I've actually got so many goosebumps.
You need to make me laugh. I cannot see you fall in love. I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see you in a sex scene.
No.
I don't want to see your body.
Why are you in lingerie? Please, man. you better make me laugh, yeah. which is what I appreciated about the show that I'm currently on right now, because mm-hmm. it literally goes against that. And we had a whole conversation with the story editor, and she was like, I want, that's exactly why. Mm. That's the commentary that I'm trying to make. But at the same time, it's like, well, can't wait until I'm not commentary.
Exactly. You know? I don't want to make a statement. I don't want to be like, political. Exactly. I don't want my body to be like a statement. I mm-hmm. actually just want to fall in love because the other characters get to
are also
that.
Falling in love, and I have it. Yeah,
you know, wearing lingerie because it's sexy, and that's what sexy time is about. Exactly. Not because I'm amandlering about body positivity,
oh, and I'm taking shots at the bar as your best yeah. friend, and I'm making a joke about whatever, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I wanted to speak about sex life because mm-hmm. I do want to go into TV and entertainment, and that's a super important yes. part of it. And we're going there.
Yes,
but I want to, you know, kind of stay within topic by topic because otherwise we're going to be TV dating back to TV dating.
Yes, I hear you.
So just in terms of sex and being a bigger woman, have you ever had moments where you didn't feel confident in the, you know, lights off type of thing, or like, oh my god, let me try and lie this way so that the stomach looks like this, or you know, have you ever had those situations in the bedroom where you can't even relax to come to
listen,
enjoy
home, please, why are you in my life? You're because literally in my narrative.
I am you.
Oh, in my past narrative, thank god. Yeah. But you know what, actually, let me start by saying this. I think it took me a very long time to have sex mm-hmm. because of that. It took me a very long time to be intimate with mm-hmm. anyone because of the fears around being naked.
Yeah.
I used to have nightmares about being naked and being seen by people seeing me naked. Like, it used to be like a huge, like, repetitive nightmare mm-hmm. of mine because I was super scared of that, right? And it really does play out in the bedroom. I probably had sex and didn't orgasm for like a huge chunk of my sexual life. And it's because you're not in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have the freedom of being comfortable, of being in the moment, of feeling what I'm feeling and really just existing in it fully. I was always like, oh my God.
Overthinking.
You want me to do what? Over here? You want me to? Okay.
But if I do that, so my stomach's going to
literally
come out.
So I literally negotiate. How about instead of that, I do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it just took me out of the moment, and it made sex mechanical for me and it made sex daunting. I found it daunting for the longest time. And now I'm in a different, completely different situation that I never, ever thought I'd be in, where my body is celebrated in the bedroom, where
but also where you celebrating yourself.
Myself, exactly. Yeah. I'm celebrating myself. I'm not hiding. Mm. What time is it? 12 noon? Let's
open
go.
The curtains. Film this shit.
It's not bright enough. It's exactly not bright
film
enough.
Film this shit. I'm
right?
about to show
exactly.
you
exactly. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm there where it's just like, I look forward to sex. Mm. I'm enjoying sex. I'm enjoying myself having sex. And it's just, it's honestly, I never thought that this was possible for me ever, let alone like love, like someone would actually fall in love with me.
And
like
also
you said,
not that whole thing of like loving you despite your fatness. Because some people will be like, no, but guys, maybe he's really nice or she's really sweet. Uh-huh. I'm like, or maybe she's really
or maybe
sexy
she's just,
and she's fly
as a human
and she's
being
beautiful.
Enough.
And he sees that in her, despite her fat, because that's what you don't see.
Yeah.
But I hate that narrative of like, if she's fat, she's got to be really kind and sweet, and that's why he loves
and
her.
And funny. Whatever.
And you can't
she must
love
be
her
so interesting.
And look at her and just salivate over her and want to fuck the shit out of her
because
even
of her.
How she looks. Yeah.
And I love that. I love that in my relationship, it's not a case of like, oh, but baby, you're more than your body. Mm-hmm. There's the inside. Nah,
fuck
nigga,
the
there's
inside.
Also the fucking outside.
There's the outside.
And I was like, bangs. And I need you to recognize that the outside bangs.
Yo,
what the hell?
That is hilarious.
Like, look at these edges. Look at my
oh my
butt.
God,
look
at this
outfit.
Ass.
Look at this fucking.
Look at the titties tittying.
Please.
Are you joking?
Please.
And look at my fucking stomach as well, nigga.
Actually,
look at
my boyfriend rubs my stomach even when we literally have such an incredible relationship, and it translates in the bedroom. It translates in the way that we talk about ourselves to each other. It translates into everything because I have moments where I slip up and I'm like, no, I don't want you to see me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm in a relationship where it's just like, bruh.
I used to have
get
that tummy
here.
Thing a lot. Like, if we're cuddling, hold my boobs, cup my
boobs.
If you cup my tummy, I'm going to cup your balls and then pull hard. And then twist and pull hard. Like, fucking let go. And I'd always, like, fall asleep just and then wake up in the morning, obviously your stomach is out because you can't hold your breath whilst you're sleeping. And just realize that this person just wanted to love each and every inch of the body, and like that this person knows what you look like with clothes on. It's not going to be a surprise.
What you look like.
They love what you look like. They're turned on by what you look like. It is not going to be a surprise when you take off your top. Like, wait, where did that come from?
What, you don't have a six pack?
Where did that come from?
And you know, actually, I used to be in situations like that where you undress and you can tell that Umuntu is looking at you like, oh. And I'm like, what? Did you think I was Jessica Alba under this?
Is this a fat suit? Like hold on, let me unzip the clothes.
You take my clothes off and then, like, surprise. Like, what the hell? So I was, I mean, also just people can be such dicks is another thing. But yeah, I really struggled with my sex life for a very long time. And I'm now not at a place where I'm struggling.
Yeah.
At all. At all.
I actually had the same as you, but for me, it was more like, I didn't wait a long time. I did super casual, super risque, super stupid things just to try and find that moment of like, oh, he likes me, or like affection, even though I knew very well that these people were not there because they wanted to date me or because they wanted to wife me or love me. It was a fuck and it was a pussy. And it was the fact that maybe because I was quite available to people because I wanted that so bad, that it was easy. So mine was the opposite in terms of like, okay, let me be a slut because then that will make me more fun and sexy and then people won't see me as like the handbag holder. And I know a lot of people who are my friends who also have either gone one or the other. It's like super late intimacy or like just inappropriate, just taking what you can get type of thing. And also I had a boyfriend who was conventionally attractive to people. So every single time they'd be like, how did you get him?
Can you imagine?
I was like, I used to actually explain it away with like my, like I'd be like, I'm super funny and I'm really interesting and I'm smart. And I was like, actually, no. Oh my God. Like I'm sexy as fuck. Do you have eyes? I'm beautiful. And then on top of the other things, he might only have that one thing. You don't know that. And it was very often that I was told by other people that I'm not good enough for this relationship. Even though my partner tried to affirm me, it was like, as a skinny bitch, I can take your man because you're holding on by a thread, you know, kind of thing, which was fucking wild to
me. I mean, as any bitch, if you can take my man, take him.
Take
him. Takeable,
oh my God.
If it's takeable, like, I can take him.
You know that sack of potatoes that if he's takeable.
If it's takeable, it actually doesn't matter.
You may want to listen until the end because the drink and the story gets juicier right after the middle.
Nothing matters if he's takeable.
Never here. But I don't know if you've ever done dating app dating, because I have had experiences where, you know, there are certain photos that might not accurately depict, or you do put it out there and people still assume somehow that like, no, it must be different. And I've heard a friend of mine who went on a date and he was like, oh, I thought you were smaller. It's literally one of the first things he said. Have you had any experiences on dating apps? I don't know if that's even something you've done. But negative or positive, because sometimes they also fetishize you.
Yeah.
Then they're also like, oh, I'm looking for a big mom. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my Lord.
Not BBW, please. Not a big mama. This is not a porn category. No, we're wrong.
Not a big mama, yeah.
But yeah, have you ever had that?
Yes. I actually had one experience that to this day, I'm still very perplexed and like confused. And I don't know if this is it. Yeah. Right, if this is the reason why. But I matched with this guy on Tinder, met with him, and he immediately friend zoned me.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you're amazing. You're just as amazing as I thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want you in my life forever. And then I was in his life, and there were moments where, you know, there were babe moments. Mm. Babe this, babe that, a kiss on the cheek, like, you know, but we're friends though. And honestly, I'm convinced that that was it.
Mm.
I'm convinced that he saw these images and he was like, oh my gosh, this girl's so beautiful. Because I am.
Yeah, as fuck.
And that is me.
As fuck.
Like, honestly, truly, I didn't invent beauty from an angle. If the angle showed beauty, it's because the beauty is there. I am beautiful.
I love that.
And so he saw all of that. We met in person and I think he saw my body and he was like, I'll pass. But
you're funny.
Because she's phenomenal, I'm still going to keep her around and I'm going to tell her about all these other girls I'm fucking.
But you also don't even know if people are passing necessarily because it's their preference.
See, that's the thing.
Or because they know that, hey, societally, I want to have this type of girl on my arm.
Exactly. This is what I want to be seen with, right? And also, the other side of the coin is, which is a hard pill to swallow, mm-hmm. is because that's how I felt about myself as well, that could possibly have not been the reason why he friend zoned me and decided that we're boys now. You know what I mean? It's a, so for me, that's the only reason because I'm still the same person that you know what I mean? You engaged with me in every other way except that way.
Yeah.
And we matched on Tinder. So how were you looking for a friend?
Yeah.
On Tinder? on Tinder, you were looking for a best friend, please.
Let's go out for friends.
Like, no.
I think also one of the other things about dating is that people think you must accept anyone who also max on you.
Oof.
And that your standards cannot be
You Hi. Are in my business.
This is why I brought you here.
Yeah.
I think we should have a sip of the cocktail before we continue.
Yes.
Cheers.
I've been stealing sips on the bed.
And I keep forgetting to mention the cocktails, even though this is Convos and Cocktails. But anyway, yeah. So I think one of the things that always shocks me the most is when people assume I must just accept, or people must just accept whatever max on them. Mm. And how dare you say no?
Yeah. Are you sure
I
you don't like
you a chance?
Exactly.
Like, I'm doing you a favor. And also, if you have accepted this thing, you must just put up with all the bullshit because you're not really that fucking lovable. I'm giving you an opportunity.
I must be so nice as a person.
You must be grateful.
Yeah, I'm very nice. I'm very kind.
Yeah.
As a person. Yeah, I'm very inclusive.
I'm this a is very my inclusive. Charity work for the year. 67, the foundation
you asked for 67
woman.
Minutes? I will give you
6 to 7
months.
I hate that
definitely narrative. I've had that energy.
Yeah, I've literally said to people like, oh, this is what I'm interested in, tall, dark, handsome, and they're like, shouldn't you be into, you know, whatever? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not. And if those people that I'm describing are not into me, and I meet someone and he's like, nah, that's cool too. Everybody's allowed to have a certain, but how is it that I'm not allowed to have a preference because I'm overweight or because I'm a big girl? Like, I must just take anybody who comes, grab them with both hands. So let's move on now. I think we've covered every square inch of dating. I want to talk about the industry because we are both happen to be in the same or
is this
similar...
another episode? This is the third episode. This is going to be the length of another episode.
Probably fucking me. And actually people will sit and listen for a fucking hour because it's good ass content.
They will.
So I want to speak about the industry that we're in. Specifically, like you spoke about your characters and being cast as somebody who's a temptress and, you know, finally in these roles. Have you ever found yourself stuck with these fucking scripts that describe you as sassy, describe you as this, and you're always the best friend? Is your experience similar to mine, or am I an anomaly?
It's 100% similar. I just think it's people have become really smart in packaging these roles. So it's not as blatant as I'm looking for a fat girl to be the fat best friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's packaged in all these other ways, but it's always that.
Yeah.
It really is always that. Like, even with this character that I was talking to, the fact that it was a case of we wanted to bring someone big in to show that, you know, big women can be da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, great initiative. Amazing. I'm behind it 100%. But I cannot wait until that's not a clause.
Yeah.
I cannot wait until I'm not fighting for something or standing. Like, it's no one else is holding up a banner for anything, for, you know, the rights of anyone. They're just here to act and they're just here to be these people. I personally feel like to date in my career, although it's really small for now, like I just started acting, if the casting isn't packaged that way, the story inevitably will be.
Yeah. Her whole storyline will be about her bigness.
At some point, the storyline will be about, so I've auditioned for so many things where they're like, oh, Wendy would be perfect for this. Mm. We're looking for a big girl, big personality, big hair. But then obviously there's going to be this point in her life where she realizes she fucking hates herself.
Yeah.
And then I want, like, you know what I mean? It's just, it always comes out.
Yeah.
And I'm so lucky that I'm in a position now. I'm being managed by someone who, he says to me, I want to give you the power to say no.
Yeah.
And I want us to have a career that allows us. Yeah.
Is my manager.
Yeah. And he is incredible at that. He has helped me create a career where I can look at something, regardless of what it is, read the brief, find out more about the character. It's always that character, just by the way. I don't think anyone has tried to cast me for something different.
Yeah.
For something fresh. Something
for someone who doesn't happen to have these self-esteem issues riddling her entire life, crying in a corner whilst eating a box of donuts, not getting dates. Or the alternative now, which is like hyper-sexed. It's
always these like
the Rebel Wilson characters, whatever,
who's
where they just
everyone
like,
in
yeah,
town
but
she
no one
loves her.
Ugh, no, yeah, that's really irritating. And me and you seem to also get cast
in the same things.
You know,
people think
the
we're
same
the same
role.
Person.
Yeah, it's either Wendy or Lesoha because those are the only people who fit this brief, and that's the only role we can go for. Mm. I can't audition for any of the other 7 roles in this TV show. It's just the fat girl.
It's just this girl.
And you're going up against the other fat girls in the industry. And I'm just like.
And it's a phenomenal breakthrough character for you. You're going to. She's really going to propel your career to heights that you've never seen. I can
identify with her. I'm like, no, I don't sit and cry all day about things.
Actually,
like, especially about my body. Like, I cry about a whole lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not super sad every day that I wake up in this
body.
I
don't hate myself.
At all.
I don't hate myself.
I don't fucking identify with
this. I'm not going to hit the brief. I'm sorry. Because I really just don't hate myself. it's so terrible, and it blows my mind how cunning it is. I feel like it's just playing into what the world is already saying.
Yeah.
Or it's like fighting back. It's not allowing you to just be.
Yeah.
We aren't allowed to just be in a relationship and be an actress and be a model and be, you must be a plus size model. You must be in this very unique relationship that everyone wants to hear about because it's so interesting that you're so in love.
You have sex?
Oh my God. What? How does that work? You know, it's like, it's mind blowing. Yeah. Everything is mind blowing. You can't just be a human being in the world like everyone else.
And you can't be cast in the role that says sexy. That is like the protagonist, the lead actress who is
the lead.
Just the lead.
Actress.
She's just dealing with work shit, you know, maybe dating, whatever, but not on account of her size.
Yeah.
She doesn't move through the world as a fat woman. She's just moving through the world.
And if you are a lead, you're a fat lead.
Exactly.
Still, it's like, because the story is about you being fat and what it's
and
like.
Sad.
It's
sad.
Yeah.
Oh my
Until
God.
This guy comes along, changes your
and
whole
he
life.
Sees through it. He sees you.
Through it. And the last scene is the both of y'all jogging together for the first time.
And you
time.
Lose weight.
Because that's the point
of the
movie.
You have to lose weight first in the movie in order to get your happy ending.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine if you didn't lose weight in the movie?
And you stayed fat and
he
still loved you?
Wait. The story's just about her being a person in the world?
Like,
there's no way.
She's not trying to be different?
I have to see that. We have to write it.
Because clearly.
100%.
Oh my God. And then, you know, the other thing I've always found, it's very interesting to me when hot girl lists or fashion girl lists come out and who's the most fashionable, who's the hottest. It never includes a big girl. Right now for me, in Hollywood, Lizzo's one of the most stylish girls.
Mm-hmm.
She's also one of the healthiest girls. She is a vegan. She exercises every day.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do those performances and not be that fit. But she's never on the list of hottest, or it's always revolutionary and body positive and different lists.
Mm.
But do you think there is something that's like, we see representation, people be like, oh, there's Lizzo. Okay, thanks.
The fact that you can say, oh, there's Lizzo means there's no representation.
Exactly.
There's Lizzo.
And? Exactly. So, do you ever find that those are I struggle with that because I am a fashion girl and I am like a girl who likes fit and fun and fashion. And I feel like I'm never really included in those kind of conversations.
Mm.
I don't think I'm there yet now, but I don't think I ever would be included in those conversations unless I looked different.
Mm.
Do you find that you struggle with that kind of representation when you observe culture, social media?
Absolutely. And I think,
especially the hot girl one. I've never seen a hot girl.
It's
like
just
that.
I'm really thinking about this like in accordance to like my personality and how I just don't give a fuck. I just don't give a fuck. So I think that's why this question in particular is so hard.
Mm.
I don't give a fuck about those lists because it's not just those lists as well, right?
Yeah.
It's also just the merit lists, the things that
actress.
We do in life, the best actress award, the best director award, the content creator of the year award or whatever. It's, we're overlooked in those conversations as well.
Yeah. I think the only reason why I wanted to emphasize the other ones is because that's the representation of beauty.
Yeah.
If you grow up in the world where you just don't see girls who look like yourself being celebrated just for beauty.
So you don't consider yourself
as beautiful. Yes, for the funny and the hardworking and the smart and the whatever.
We
can get that sometimes. But we don't get celebrated in the way that dark-skinned women were talking about it a few years ago. And then they've got representation. Obviously not as much as even light-skinned women. It's not a conversation. But big women have just never entered that chat.
And I don't know when they will, because I don't, this might be pessimistic of me, but I can't imagine a world where I'm on the same list as Nomza Mombatha or a Nomza Mombatha-esque looking woman, on a hottest person list. If that list comes out with me on it, it'll be a Black Twitter conversation. Mm. It will 100%. It's just, so I feel like it would be ideal, honestly, to start getting that kind of representation in. And I think that there is
movement.
Whoever's
the first has to deal with some other
shit. My gosh. The first person to be labeled the hottest, especially in a country like ours. Yeah. Should that happen, honestly, truly, like, that is a glass ceiling that has another glass ceiling, which has another glass ceiling. Like, it's, so I think it is important. I think we're moving in that direction. I just think that people aren't doing it right yet because there's no ownership, right?
Yeah.
Beauty, if they don't make us own, they don't allow us to own our beauty. Mm. It's, you're beautiful and you're on the plus size list. You're beautiful and you're on this list. The hottest.
You have a really pretty face.
Yes. Like, you're
they want to separate your face from it. I was talking just about your face, Wendy. That's a lot. You're a really pretty face.
Mm.
But, you know,
So I don't see it happening anytime soon because there's so many other conversations that need to exist before that, especially in the public space, right? Like, there are so many conversations that need to exist before that one does.
Okay, so let's speak about, since we're in this kind of realm, about the photo shoot, because you did touch on, you were in a photo shoot and, you know, and just in general, we've both done things, photo shoots, designers, you know, fuck, and where it's just like, oh, you don't want to dress me. You don't want me to be in this photo shoot.
Me.
Like, why am I included in this thing
if
you don't want me to be here?
Yeah.
And make me know that you don't want me to be here.
I've literally almost called Wesley on my way out of a photo shoot before, because I was like, I actually really don't need this.
Yeah.
Because there's a bigger, more important conversation here, which is like what these kind of environments do to your mind.
Mm.
It's so damaging. It's so damaging and it's actually incredibly traumatic.
Yeah.
And you speak about these things and people roll their eyes. It was traumatic.
Like,
like, just calm down and eat an apple.
Yeah, bro.
Like, if you don't want to carry this trauma, you know what I mean?
If you don't want to carry this trauma, then lose weight.
You're causing
also,
the trauma.
Lose weight then.
Yeah, you have a choice. You know what I mean?
You're big on purpose.
Right? So, those kind of spaces, the photo shoot spaces, the things not fitting even after you sent the thing, and then people like trying to piece things together, it makes you feel unhuman.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, why is it so easy for that person to get a pair of pants?
Mm.
What is it about me that makes it so hard
for
you to get
me? Why am I on this magazine cover with women in gorgeous, gorgeous gowns?
Like,
and I had to get mine from YDE quickly because you didn't cater for me. Literally a real life example that happened. We gave our sizes like 2 months before and it's like, oh, I'm seeing people in like my, in Keys fashion and Gert Johan and beaded, just the most opulent shit.
Gorgeous.
In the gorgeous shit in the world. And then I had to quickly go get a dress in Stanton City for like 800 rand.
What are you saying to me as someone who is
and I'm still
managing
this cover
that process
and be in a group photo? It is obvious who's not fucking wearing Keys.
You must still show up. And that's the thing.
And you have to smile. You have to smile.
People don't understand how hard we're working.
Mm.
You are just saying your lines. I'm doing so much work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work that I'm doing inside me. You're just posing for a picture. I'm having conversations.
Mm.
I'm in a boardroom in my head right now so that I can still be here.
Yeah.
So that I can still stand here and take this
and
motherfucking
not cry
photo.
While and I'm standing here. Because the treatment is wildly different. You guys had a magical experience. Everything was and you
it was
know.
A dream come true, Lisejo.
You should be happy.
I felt like a princess.
I'm so happy for you guys. My experience was wildly different.
I'm about to go home and cry.
My eyes are big in the photo because I was trying to just not cry the entire time. Or going to designers and having stuff on set that's supposed to be there for you that just doesn't fit because they don't care.
So you see, for me, this, I think what you just said right now is what I was trying to communicate with the hottest list question. Mm. Until that is fixed, until those environments are altered, the list will never come out.
Yeah.
And when the lists do come out, it will be because they want them to be conversational.
Yeah.
Someone listened to the Convos and Cocktails podcast.
Yeah.
And
put
they were like,
the
you know what we
inclusive.
Should do for our next issue?
Let's actually call
we should
them.
Get both of them. We should get them both
let's
of them.
Call them.
So literally someone's going to do that now. As like, you know what I mean? So until those conversations happen and until those changes are made, I don't give a fuck about a list. It means nothing.
True fucking story.
This is representation, this podcast. This is the representation that big women need.
Yeah.
These are the conversations that they need to hear. Because those are the conversations that are real. The list won't be.
Yeah. And it also sucks so much that it takes so long to love yourself. I hate that for at least 28 years of my life, I just hated myself and what I saw and really much believed what people would say about me. It takes, if someone says to me, you're dumb on Twitter or anyway, that doesn't touch me because I know the fuck I'm not. Mm. Like, I know I'm not. And then so there's insults where people be like, you're stupid or you're this. And I'm like, oh no, that doesn't touch me. But the minute it's about my body and like, you're fat, you're this, you're fat bitch, that shit rocks my world. And my mom just said to me like, why can people say a whole lot of range of things to you, but only this one affects you? It's because that's how you believe what they say.
Because you agree, and because that's the fucked up thing.
And it took so long. I'm like 33 now, and I'm finally in a position where, no, that doesn't define me, and no, that can't hurt me. And but it sucks that it takes people so long to get there just because of a body size.
It sucks that that's what you have to learn to love yourself.
Yeah, and that people are also shocked. You're confident. It's like mind blowing.
Like, because you're wearing a bathing suit at the beach.
Because you're at the beach swimming.
I must wear Dickie's jeans to the beach, is what you're saying. Oh my gosh, you're wearing a bikini as opposed to what, Sandra?
It's hot and we're on the beach.
I'm supposed to wear dungarees. Jean to the jean.
You confident.
Oh my gosh. Like, wow. Yeah, like, people literally clap for you.
Brave, actually.
Yes, that's the word. You're so brave. I'm wearing a dress. Okay. Wow.
Oh my god,
it's really inspiring. It's really inspiring.
If I was in your body, I'd kill myself. But like, you're not.
If I was in your body, I don't think I'd leave the house.
I would.
But you're here. And you're so here. Oh my god. Wow.
Oh my god, I'm so devastated. Wendy, it has been an honor and a joy. I would love to have you back for whenever you want to promote whatever. Maybe speak about your career. I just didn't want to have a sell. What projects are you working on?
I hear you. That's people every conversation. Ask you that. Yes.
Everybody's, but we've got this so much in common that I was like, I have to.
I'd even love to come back and speak about this more.
Fuck.
You know,
like, I think there's so much more to unpack. 100%. There's so much more to unpack.
Yeah, I've loved having this conversation with you. And I think these are the conversations that matter the most. These are the conversations that would save my life.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If I had access to other women who spoke so openly about their sex lives and their bodies and all of that, like I think I would have, I mean, there's no time targets, but I think that it would have helped me in those years, to see myself differently, to see myself for who I truly am.
Mm. Yeah, I think you should preach, just by the way. You say things in the most flowery, spectacular English, but it just hits the chest.
Thank you.
Anyway, girl, thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time. It is a very interesting podcast. I cannot wait for people to hear it. And I definitely would love you back anytime. Like I said, if you just want to come promote a movie quickly for 5 minutes or talk about your fucking day, let me know.
Will do.
Anyway, thank you guys.
Cheers.
This has been episode 2 of Convers and Cocktails with Lesoha. I will see you on the next episode. Cheers. Convers and Cocktails, produced in partnership with Lesoha Tlhabi and WMG Rep. Drinks never end at the bar. So join me over at the socials with your cocktail where we get to continue the conversations. Simply follow me at Lesoha Tlhabi. See you there. Recorded at Solid Gold Podcast. Solid Gold. To be understood, you must first be heard. I look forward to our next convos and cocktails, and don't forget, mo money, mojito, or whatever Biggie said.